and welcome along to Channel 4's The Real Football Fan Show podcast with me, Robbie Lyle. The show that's made for the fans. We've got a great show for you today. We're on the spot with Sam Prince from Made in Chelsea, who incidentally is a Chelsea fan. We'll be chatting giant killing from the FA Cup. And after Wolves put out a weakened Liverpool, I'll be asking the panel whether they think that these teams are shortchanging the oldest cup competition in the world. We'll also be looking forward to the weekend's Premier League games, chatting transfer rumours, playing Challenge Robbie, and doing the Real Football Fan Show quiz. It's another busy show, so let's get on with it with this week's The Real Football Fan Show, made for the fans. Now, I've got a great panel with me today. Returning for his second stint here on the podcast, we've got Flex, a Man United fan, happier than the last time he came here.
Christmas came moaning way all the time. Earlier than it was supposed to be. Yeah, I'm happy.
We're going to get into that. We got Toby returning for a second time as well. Toby, big Tottenham fan, and Tottenham, great win last night.
Lucky win, but great win.
VAR, getting you across the line.
Love it.
And here for the first time, great guest here, Hannah, a Huddersfield fan. How you doing, Hannah?
Okay. as well as can be expected.
Okay, all right. Maybe not that great at the moment. But first of all, you know what? I'm going to get straight into it. The FA Cup. Last weekend, it was on. Big wins for Man United. Big wins for you guys as well. Tottenham 7-0. Yeah. That was a great win. Hannah, Huddersfield knocked out.
Unsurprisingly, I think, really. they were better than us, which is tough because they're a Championship side and we're a Premier League side, and you think that it'd be easy. We didn't really put out a weakened team either.
No?
Not particularly. We still had some people. He didn't start Pritchard, and he brought him on later, but middle, he started punching who we've just brought in. You've got Hogg in the middle. He'd taken some defenders out, but we've lost Schindler anyway, so he had to take... He had to make some changes for the Cardiff match, whatever. So it wasn't particularly weakened. The big one was the keeper change.
Out of the cup. But then you've got bigger things to concentrate on.
Yeah.
Which is trying to stay in the division. But for some other teams, right? Now, Leicester in particular, right? Who, you look at Leicester and you think to yourself, they're a mid-table team. They're not going to finish any higher than, say, seventh this season. They're not going to go down. You'd have thought to yourself, Go for it in the FA Cup, but they didn't. They put out a weakened team against Newport and they got caught out and they're out of the cup. Liverpool the other night, as I said at the top of the show, put out a much weakened team against Wolves and they're out of the cup as well. Now, what do you guys think on this? Do you think that these teams are disrespecting the FA Cup? I mean, what do you think, Flex?
I see both sides of the coin and I think it depends on priorities as a club, really, because you got to think of it this way. Young players getting a chance, players knocking down doors who ain't being given a chance. It's a chance for the manager to say, do you know what? Let me see what I've been missing. You show me why I should be playing you. And a lot of these managers have come out of these fixtures, having lost, and said, you know what? You haven't shown me. You've proved me right.
But they wouldn't do that in a Champions League game, would they?
They probably
and
wouldn't.
And they wouldn't do that in a league game, so they're disrespecting
the cup.
They need a chance.
You know, you look at... I do think it goes by club by club. So you look at Leicester, not going to get relegated, not going to win the league this year. Let's give their fans... They should be looking to give their fans a good cup run. I think the same argument goes for Bournemouth every year as well. Eddie Howe's done fantastically well there.
They're out as well, isn't it?
And they're out as well. So it's like, they're safe. They're pretty much safe. They're on a great run this season. Why not give the fans a cup run?
Yeah, fantastic. Because what are they playing for? To finish mid-table?
Exactly.
I mean, actually, when I think about it, you guys, Man United, ruined the FA Cup. All those years ago, when you decided to play in that other competition and you didn't want to play in the FA Cup, you ruined it, didn't you?
We didn't ruin it. We just wanted to...
Teams have been playing weakened teams and that. You've got a lot to answer for,
haven't you? Listen. Don't try and make Man United the scapegoat.
You've got a bit to blame for that,
listen,
haven't you?
Arsenal are the ones that play the biggest amount of kids. You've been renowned for that under Wenger when the Carling Cup used to play kids galore.
Remember that time, what it was, Manchester United, they had a chance of playing that Super Cup competition.
Yeah, we went to get it.
They went and played in that instead of the FA Cup. Yes. Toby, you guys, to be fair to Tottenham, they did take it seriously and you won 7-0. at Tranmere. That was quite a strong team. Apart from you had Kane on the bench, that was a strong team you put out there.
The thing is, you say it was a strong team. We had a couple players that were injured, and we had a couple players who were fringe players as well. Aurier just came back from injury. Foyth just came back from injury. Skip, academy player. Davies, he's not really. When Danny Rose is
yeah, but come on, they're not little kids, are they? You know what I mean, like what you know, Liverpool the other night with loads of kids at the back, 16-year-olds and things like that.
Yeah, but that kid's gone into school. Yeah, it's made his he's lost the game, but he had a good game.
Yeah, he had a good game.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, great game.
And if they win this game, if Liverpool go and win that game 2-1, no one's sitting there saying this.
What if though at the end of the season, Liverpool have not won the league.
Then great.
And they've got no trophy.
Then fantastic.
But there's no trophy to show. Sometimes, I know as an Arsenal fan over the years, right, the FA Cup has been something to save the season because you at least have been able to say, I mean, where do you stand on it, Hannah? Do you think that teams are disrespecting the FA Cup?
A little bit, yeah, I do. And I think it's Premier League teams that do it, obviously, because the champions... in the Championship, you don't have the option. I think it's difficult, though. Liverpool, everybody knows Liverpool want to win the league. That's their major goal this year. Mm. They're in the Champions League, so they've got extra games coming up. So have Man City, so have Tottenham, so have Man United. All of them, they've already got extra games. So you can see why they're thinking, well, I don't want any more either.
Mm.
But then you look at the Championship, they have more games, league games anyway, because they've got more teams in that league.
Mm.
So actually, at that top level, you should be able to perform, and you should be able to perform consistently with more matches. So I think, yes, they should be putting out their top team.
I think it's like a double-edged sword.
They had a week's rest. They had no fixture this week. They've got a squad that's capable of challenging for all honours this season. Anyone who says otherwise, you're lying to yourself. They signed four players in the summer. Mm. How many players on the bench? Much has been made about their depth. With a week's rest as well, you should be able to field a reasonably good side against a Wolves side who you know are going to come at you. Wolves are going to play a serious team. They're not going to go out and play some Mickey Mouse academy players. They're going to play their first side, and it's away from home as well. You've got to try and get a result.
Let's hear from a few of you about your FA Cup third round experience.
Hi, Robbie. What can I say? Got back from Norwich late on Sunday night. What a day for Portsmouth Football Club. Last minute winner, away at second in the Championship, Norwich City. It was delirium. I've been supporting Pompey for over 30 years. I can't remember such a late winner in all my time. 15 seconds to go. 2,500 Pompey fans going absolutely mental. Absolutely superb. Play up, Pompey.
All right, Robbie, it's Will here from the Saints FC podcast. 2-0 up, squandered it, same old Saints. One step forward, two steps back. It's now the replay against Derby at home. So very much looking forward to that. But more looking forward to the fact that if we beat Derby, we get to play Accrington Stanley, who we haven't faced in 60 years. Can't wait to come back on the show at some point. Look after yourself and up the Saints.
What did I say to you, Robbie? I said to you, Newport County are going to beat Leicester in the FA Cup. I just knew it was going to happen. It's a typical thing that Leicester do. We beat previous champions Chelsea and Man City. We beat Everton, and then we lose to Newport County. It's just what Leicester do. It's the Leicester way. We've been doing this for years. This is all I know. This is all I know, Robbie. It's frustrating. Why did he take the FA Cup serious? I'm raging.
I know one thing, there'll be no weakened teams this weekend for the games because all three of you are here on this panel have got very, very tough games. Now, I'm going to start off with you two because Manchester United are playing Tottenham.
Mm.
It's a huge, huge game. Of course, Tottenham beat Manchester United earlier on in the season.
Comfortably.
But that was comfortable. Yeah. That was a great win by Tottenham at Old Trafford. But this game's a bit different because it's a resurgent Manchester United under a new manager. It's all going great now. New manager, Solskjaer, 5 on the bounce, better than Sir Matt Busby. He's the greatest manager of all time.
Look what you're trying to do. I'm so annoyed that there's no visuals sometimes in this podcast.
He's the greatest manager. But no. So you got to say there's a nice feel-good factor around Manchester United at the moment. The whole Mourinho thing's gone and United are performing, aren't they?
We are. And look, all you can play is what's in front of you. You know, very similar to when you guys went on your 22 and people say, oh, you only played this person. You only played. But you were right at the time. You could only beat what's in front of you. Like you said to other teams, why didn't you beat them then? Do you know what I mean? It's five games, five wins. But
and it's not just, it's the manner of how you beat them, hasn't it?
I think that's like the real reason why Man United fans are so happy is the way we're playing football. We've been starved of this, especially under Mourinho in particular. Obviously, under Van Gaal and Moyes is a whole separate thing. But we've been starved of it. So just to see our players playing with the so-called shackles off.
Is that unprofessional of those players, though? Guys like Pogba.
This is I knew.
No, but we got to ask this question. No, he wasn't performing at all under Mourinho.
Neither was the whole team.
And then all of a sudden now he's dancing around.
He's always been dancing. People hated him for dancing when
not
we were
like
losing.
I've seen him dancing
now he's dancing. Listen. Let me tell you something. He's got some new moves. Yeah, because Mourinho's gone. Of course, he's got
Mourinho out dance, man.
Exactly. Listen, let me tell you something. Yeah, people are quick to try and use Pogba as a scapegoat. Yeah. But when he wasn't playing bad, the whole team weren't playing good, you know? It's not the people are just looking for him because he's Pogba, because he's got the haircuts, because he's the dancer, because he's the guy, the superstar. They're only focusing on him. Marcus Rashford, what? Is anyone accusing him of downing tools now? The club was toxic top to bottom.
Nah, I've always said this. Mourinho had to go. Like he was a rotten piece of God knows what for Man United.
Of course.
But the players had to take some sort of responsibility. Like there were so many matches where they weren't down in tools, but they just, it's clear to see that this manager's not telling you to go out and play like this. He's not telling you to go to Brighton and not press them and not go toe-to-toe, not give 100%. Like, I get it.
Unfortunately, whether you like it or not, employee power wins. A board of thing can't get rid of 25 people in a workforce in one, but they can get rid of the conductor of that group. And unfortunately, that's just how it goes. They're not going to get rid of 25 players.
He definitely had a negative impact on the way that Man United played and what the fans wanted to see as well, particularly because you weren't playing. Going forward, you didn't look good at all. And then, obviously, defensively, it wasn't working. But I still think that players like Pogba and Rashford and Martial, they do have something to answer for because you can't just go out every week. These guys are paid God knows how much, and then their fans, who are paying God knows how much to get a season ticket, to go and watch them, and they're disrespecting them by doing what they were doing. Yeah, you can say that the manager is not giving you the motivation and he's not playing in the style that you want to, but you still got to go out there and look like you're bloody trying.
I don't think those players
and
were not trying.
I don't think they did.
I don't think those players were not trying.
So how comes they were so bad?
Because of the way they've been set out to play. And you got to remember, your environment that you work in, look, you're a millionaire and all that and superstar, but you're a human being first. If you're not happy in what you're doing, it don't matter how much money you've got, you're not happy. You're not happy.
Okay.
And you
look
at other managers with their squad. You look at Klopp. You look at Sarri. You look at even Pochettino, who spent nothing. Look at what they're getting out of their squads.
So, hey, Toby. So, this game, I've got a name for this game.
Yeah.
Right? The game between you and Man United. I'm calling it the Pochettino Derby. Yeah? The Poch Derby. Reason being is that he's probably going to be at Man United come the end of the season.
No,
so it's like an audition for him, isn't it?
He's not going to be at Man United at the end of the season.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
How can you be positive? Well, you know him.
I don't know him. I am 100% positive he is going to be the Spurs manager.
How are you positive?
Because everything about what he's saying now indicates that he wants to stay at our team.
He said the same sort of thing.
He
said
he wants to stay 20 years, only if he gets money.
What? He said the same sort of thing.
When he was at Southampton.
No, he didn't.
When he was at Southampton, when they were asking him, right? When they were asking him, where are you going? Are you going to? He said, I'm a Southampton manager. I'm enjoying my time here. Similar things to what he said.
Nah.
Next meet, you know, he's at White Hart Lane.
When you don't win anything this year, though, what's he going to do? Because he's going to think, I've got to go somewhere where we're going to win trophies.
My whole rationale for Pochettino staying is because he's 46 years old. He has years left in the tank. He can manage. His stock is not going to fall. His position right now is going to be the same position in 2 years' time.
But we're talking about Manchester United.
Yeah, we are.
The biggest club in the world,
And they're the biggest mess in the world right now.
Yeah, but they're going to give him a big budget, which he's not going to get.
They gave Van Gaal a big budget. They gave Mourinho a big budget.
They're going to say, you know, you can bring players with you. You can bring Harry Kane.
Harry Kane's not going anywhere to start. Neither is Denny.
You got the man on them flipping life-giving contracts. I had to sign that life away.
He's done a fantastic job, right? But, you know, people around him as well are going to be saying, yeah, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
It's not, though. It's not a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. The job's been available, like, twice or three times in the past 4 years. How is it a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity?
No, but they want him now, don't they?
Yeah, they want him now. And they're not going to get him
and
now.
They're going to give him a big budget. I promise He's not going to get that budget
I promise
at Tottenham,
you this. If they come for him in the summer, which they probably will, and he knocks them back in 2 or 3 years' time, whenever it is, depending on whoever they get, they'll come back for him again. Same with Real Madrid, same with all these other clubs. We are in a situation now in football where you don't get managers like Pochettino who stay for 4 or 5 years. It's probably a 2 to 3 year turnover and they're gone.
How long has he been at Tottenham?
He's been at Tottenham for coming up to 5 years now.
There you go. So he's done his time, isn't
he? No, so he's got a decision to make. If Man United come in the summer with a whole heap of money,
which they will.
Daniel Levy is probably
the
shrewdest businessman that there is. So I don't think he will willingly obviously want to do that. But if Pochettino knocks on his door and says, Dan, I want to go. So you then got a manager who actually doesn't want to be there. Then can you see Poch going, Daniel Levy going, no, we just can't let you go to rivals and strengthen the club. Or it will, because he will have a decision to make as a man, as a person, with his family. Pochettino will sit there and go, I could potentially want to go to Manchester.
Don't get me wrong, but it's funny. People always pick up on the negatives. He said so many positive things about how long he wants to stay at Spurs, the group of players he's built on our team, our capacity to win trophies, how he wants to be.
Mourinho said all that when he was at Man United.
Mourinho's
a
bum.
He said he wanted to make us great.
Mourinho's a bum. Why do you compare Mourinho?
Because he's won everything.
I want to get Hannah in there now because you guys got your game. That's an important game for you guys. In Hannah's case, it's not about winning titles. It's about staying in the league. And they got a very, very important game against Cardiff, the ultimate six-pointer, that Huddersfield have to go and win that game. And I want to ask this question. We're talking about managers. And I've spoken to you before, Hannah, and I know you're a massive fan of your manager, David Wagner, how he brought you guys up, how he had a brilliant season last season. But is pressure on him now? Is it time to maybe change the manager?
No.
To try and stay in the division. Maybe you need to bring in like a Sam Allardyce type character or somebody.
No, definitely not.
No, but you want to stay in the Premier League, don't you?
Yeah, we do want to stay in the Premier League.
And he's... He's lost his last five games.
Yeah, we've lost 7 in a row now. So, including the FA Cup. 7 in a row?
eight games in a row.
I mean, most managers,
3 in a row, they're gone.
Look at what he's working with.
But he has got... It is difficult because... Yes, this is a must-win match. So have the last 4 games that we've played. They've all been against our relegation rivals. We needed to win all of them. We didn't. Going to Cardiff is going to be a nightmare. They're not an easy team to beat at Cardiff, definitely.
So if he loses that 9 in a row, you're saying still keep him?
So who's
it's time
you,
to go. He's got to
do his replacement. I don't want...
So you've got Sam Allardyce out there.
He's a terrible manager.
Yeah,
I don't think it's about that.
I don't think it's... Because the area that we need to change is moving forward faster. We don't do that. We don't attack with pace. And we haven't got a striker. And last season, we couldn't really score. We won games 1-0 here and there. It was not... We weren't firing him in. I mean, we had one big win.
But you spent quite a lot of money.
We did.
You did, didn't you? In comparison to teams like Cardiff, you know, Huddersfield spent quite a lot of money.
We don't have big depth. He's brought in players.
But he brought these players in.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's his fault, isn't it?
They got to stand by him, Rob. I see what you're trying to do. They got to stand by him,
Rob. I disagree. I think the style of football he plays is really good. For the fans, and I think the fans will stand by him because of that.
Okay, well, listen, we're going to take a look at those games very shortly in Challenge Robbie, and we'll get your predictions on it. But first of all, before we do that, I want to get into our interview that we did. On the spot interview, I spoke to Sam Prince from the reality TV programme Made in Chelsea, and he is also a Chelsea fan. Hi, welcome along to On The Spot. Got a very special guest here with me today, Sam Prince from Made In Chelsea. Although he was just saying to me, you're no longer on it, you've just come
on. No longer on it, I'm taking time out to focus more on me.
Yeah.
I'm doing a clothing brand and YouTube channel.
But you've been doing it previously for four series?
2 years, yeah.
Wow, intense.
Intense, it was very intense, very stressful. People think it's a lovely lifestyle to have.
It does look like a lovely lifestyle.
And to be fair, on the Instagram and all social media, it looks great. But when you're actually living in that, it can be very intense.
In what way?
Because you're essentially living your life with, let's say, 20 producers. who want to know everything that's going on in your life. They almost want a medal in your life to make a good season.
Right.
So it can be quite tricky at times, and I found it extremely stressful. But at the same time, I did make some good memories.
Program's called Made in Chelsea.
Yeah.
And you're a Chelsea fan.
I'm a Chelsea fan, yeah. Right.
Always been a Chelsea fan?
When I was younger, my dad was a big Man United fan. And I was like, Dad, listen. And I started watching Chelsea, going to watch Chelsea games when I was about 14. And I was like, Dad, I'm going to Chelsea. I'm moving to Chelsea. And ever since that, I have followed Chelsea. And
What did he say when you told him?
He was fuming. And to be fair, all my family are pretty much Man United,
yeah.
Apart from my little brother. But I just love Chelsea. And I think because I lived there, I was going to games quite a lot last year. I just do love the atmosphere there. There's something about the Chelsea ground. And it is because it's smaller. I think smaller grounds get better atmosphere. And I think I've been to watch United play, and their ground is so big, the atmosphere is not as good. And that's why I love Stamford Bridge.
And of course, Chelsea, over the past few years, have been doing really, really well.
Yeah.
Where do you think Chelsea will finish this year?
I'm hoping for the win, but I'm thinking it's going to be second.
Yeah?
I think so,
yeah.
You
think you get second?
I think so, yeah.
Because you've got Liverpool, Man City, and Spurs.
Spurs are strong.
But you think you're not just looking top four, you're thinking that Chelsea can push on
100%. Yeah, 100%. I find Chelsea players passionate, and I think I find them more passionate than other players. When I look at interviews back, they do seem like they just want it more. And I think footballers are paid such vast amounts of money. I think it's good to see that.
I want to ask you about your owner, the owner of a club, Roman Abramovich. This guy's put his money where his mouth is over the years.
Yeah.
But fans, well. There are fans that, you know, not Chelsea fans, but there are fans of other clubs that criticise Chelsea and say, oh, Chelsea, all they did, they've just bought it. You know, there wasn't this big club before. It's all because of one guy. I mean, how important is that he stays, you know, as the owner of the club?
I mean, it is important. I hate to say it, but without him, where would our team be now? And I would say they probably would not be in the position they are in. They're always at the front, and it is because of him. With football nowadays, you have to have money. Without money, you don't really have a football club. And it's hard to get a football club. Even if you start coaching at a young age, you still need that. And he is our lifeline, really.
So you have no problem that you've sort of got a sugar daddy?
I have no problem. And I think it's a lot of other teams. I think it is.
You think it's just jealousy from the other teams?
I think it's jealousy, yeah. Would they love him? Absolutely. Of course they would. I think any team would.
Would I love him at Arsenal, Abramovich?
Probably.
Yes. 100%. Listen, thank you very much for coming on today. And listen, cheers, best of luck with the clothing line.
Yeah.
If I want to get, you know, I don't know if you're going to be, we do double XL.
100%, yeah, definitely.
You've got to look after the big man then.
Yeah, I will be.
All right. Right, so what's the clothing line called? Where will we be able to get it?
It's called Prince Clothing. Right. The best place to find it is Instagram. They've got a nice Instagram page on there. Website's on there too. It's bombers, t-shirts, lots of different things.
Ain't gonna be them big Chelsea prices, is it?
Not actually. Very reasonably priced, so it's good.
Yeah, no, I ain't really got that. I'm not about that Kings Road life right now, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, no, look out for that. And the channel coming soon as well.
Channel's coming soon, yeah.
All right, looking forward to that. Listen, thanks very much.
Thank you,
mate.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Cheers. Right, back after that, and it's time to get into our quiz. This is where I find out who's a real fan or who's a plastic fan in this building right now. You guys get a chance to sort of team up, you know, even Tottenham, you know, Pochettino.
I don't know about that.
You've got a common ground on this, nah, man, you know.
This guy's my enemy until after Sunday, though.
You can both help me out, though.
So, yeah.
I actually got three questions for you. What do you guys know about German football?
So-so.
Right. I want to ask you this question. The biggest ground out of these three teams, three of the biggest teams in Germany, which one of these teams has got the biggest stadium? Not the most attendance, the biggest stadium, yeah?
Okay.
The Allianz Arena, Bayern Munich. I can never pronounce this. Weststadion.
Yeah.
Which is Borussia Dortmund's ground.
Hertha Berlin.
Or the Aufschalke, which is Schalke Stadium, Dortmund's deadly rivals.
I think Dortmund's is the biggest in the league.
I think it's Dortmund's.
Yeah.
Westfalen Stadion.
I think it's the biggest in the league.
Where are you going, Hannah?
Bow to that, I have no idea.
I think it's Dortmund's.
I've been there, it's like 85,000, 83,000.
I've been to Allianz. Allianz isn't bigger than Dortmund's, so it has to be between Schalke and Dortmund.
Schalke could be that team.
It's not
that, like,
capacity though, you were saying.
Capacity, yeah.
It's capacity. Right. I think it's Dortmund.
I think it's Dortmund.
Dortmund Weststadion is 81,360.
Oh, I think Bayern Munich is more than that.
Bayern Munich Stadium is 75,000 at Allianz Arena. The Ulf Schalke is 62,271. Well done. You're right. It is Borussia Dortmund. Well done, Toby. So, I like that. He said he's been to Bayern. He's been to. So he knew. So. He's not a plastic fan. You know what I mean? I like that. I like that. Right. Which team has got in the championship out of these next two teams has had the best average attendance so far this season? Right?
I was going to say Leeds.
Is it Aston Villa or Leeds?
Leeds.
Aston Villa.
I'd say Leeds because they've been at the top of the table selling out every week.
Yeah.
Aston Villa, I think they're big games they've showed up.
The capacity at Leeds isn't that big though.
Yeah, it's like 35, isn't it?
Yeah, 40. It's not that big. Is Villa bigger?
Villa's 40. I think it's Aston Villa. But he says, what was it? It was the best average though.
Biggest average attendance this
because
season.
Villa, do you know what? Villa were doing terribly and then changed the manager and then started doing all right.
Yeah, but
so their average attendance before that.
They have got a really strong base.
But their fan base is strong, regardless of the results. I think it's Aston Villa.
I think
you're so
that's the
sure.
Most, that's the most. That's the most sensible answer. But I
what's
feel
your
like,
team going with? What's your team going with?
You see, I thought Leeds immediately in my head when we.
I'm going to go
I'm
with Leeds.
Sorry, I'm going Aston Villa.
Don't put me there.
Oh, it looks like it's on you.
Deciding votes on Hannah.
It looks like deciding votes on Hannah. Where are you going?
Well, I feel as Toby got the last one. I'm going to go. We'll go Aston Villa.
All right.
Sorry.
If I'm right, I won't
Aston Villa's Aston Villa's average attendance this season so far, 34,437. So that's below
that
their.
Leeds would have to be a
sellout below their capacity.
Yeah, which they might have been.
Leeds 32,890. Toby again.
Okay.
Toby again. He straight away said Aston Villa, man. Final question. I'm going to name you three players, right? And I want you to tell me the odd one out and the reason why they're the odd one out. Tony Adams, Steven Gerrard, and John Terry.
Gerrard.
Why?
Because he's a midfielder.
Is it Tony Adams because he hasn't got over 100 caps for England?
Or Steven Gerrard because he hasn't won the Premier League. Tony Adams and John Terry have.
Yeah, that's one.
Yeah, that's
it
good.
It could be the England appearances and like you said about the positions.
Yeah.
So where are you going?
Gerrard.
I'll say the Gerrard with not winning the league.
Not winning the league.
Gerrard. The answer is John Terry.
Oh.
And actually, you know what, Toby? I'm going to kind of...
It could have been it.
You know what? It could have been.
Yeah. But you've just not picked that
no,
one.
No, it could have been Steven Gerrard for that reason. But that's not the reason I went with. I'm going to kind of give you a half point for that, right? But the real reason is John Terry and all of the other two only ever played for one club. Yeah. Even though people
Villa,
think he's a one, he only played for one club, he went to Villa.
Okay.
So he played for two clubs. So... That is the reason. So I'll give you a half point for that. So I've got to say, Toby, he's on point.
I know my stuff.
He knows his stuff.
Well, the first time I met him and he told me he supported Tottenham, I thought he didn't know nothing about football.
He proved you wrong, mate.
No, he knows his stuff. You know, well done. Listen, let's get into Challenge Robbie as well, right? And this is the part of the show where, you know, it's like a predictor. However, if you get the exact outcome of the game right, you get 3 points. If you only get the outcome right, then it's only a point. And of course, if you get the result completely wrong, it's nil pois. Now, first of all, I've got to talk about last week, right? Last week, we had Lee Drifty and Troops, the big man Troops, if you're listening to this. He's always showing off about how he beat me on the TV show and this and that.
He thinks he knows
everything. He thinks he knows everything. He knew nothing. He got zero. He got the worst amount. Drifty got 1 point, Lee got 1 point, I won it with 3 points. All right. So will it be a repeat this week? We've got 3 games to look at. We're going to start off with yours, Hannah. Cardiff versus Huddersfield. This game is huge. Huge, Hannah.
Yeah.
You've got to win it, haven't you?
Yeah. And I'm confident. I'm going for the massive score of Huddersfield winning by 1-0. Because I tell you, we're going to struggle to score more than one.
Who's going to score that goal?
I would say Zanka, because we like a defensive goal.
So you're going 1-0?
I'm going 1-0 Huddersfield, yeah.
All right, what about you, Toby?
2-1 Cardiff. I think
Still giving us a goal though, thank you.
2-1 Cardiff. I think Cardiff are not as bad as most people make them out to be. I'm backing them all the way to the home win.
Got battered by Man United, didn't they? Bro?
Yeah, but that's weird. Right, we're a different kettle of fish now, Jake.
What do you think?
I think 2-0 Cardiff. I think Hannah's right. They are a difficult team to beat at Cardiff. Huddersfield struggling to create, struggling to score. I just can't see it.
Okay.
So I'm going to go 2-0.
You know what? I'm going to go left field, man. I'm going to go Huddersfield. Because I just look on it and say, that run has got to come to an end sometimes. I mean,
please.
You know, I hope it does, Hannah.
Seven games.
Please. I hope it does.
Seven games in a row, man. That's horrendous. That has to come. Actually, I'm going to go with a draw.
Is Moy fit?
I'm going with a draw.
Not that I'm aware of at the moment.
Yeah, I'm going with a 1-1 draw. Oh. The next game we're going to look at is a manager under pressure, which is Claude Puel of Leicester, up against Southampton. Toby, what do you think? Leicester versus Southampton?
I'm going for Leicester 2-1. I think at home, Madison fit, Vardy fit. I think they'll have enough to dispatch Southampton.
What about you, Flex?
Yeah, I would have said the same thing, 2-1. 2-1 Leicester.
2-1 Leicester?
Yeah, Southampton have been resurgent, but I think packed out King Power with those players fit, I think they can pull off a result.
I think Leicester will win. I think Southampton are looking really good going forward, actually. Never thought I'd say that, but they have had a resurgent.
Got brought in a new manager, haven't they?
Yeah, brought in a new manager.
You sure you still don't want a new manager?
I think I'm going Leicester 3-2. I'm going big.
Leicester 3-2? Ooh. I think Leicester will win as well. I think because of what happened last week and the fact that they got knocked out by Newport, the fact that the manager's under a lot of pressure, those players are under a lot of pressure to perform as well after. Their fans are really unhappy about that. I just think that Leicester are going to have a bit more about them. I'll go for Leicester winning this by 2-0. Final game, Spurs, the Potch Derby. Right?
Can you stop calling it the Potch Derby? People are willingly signing this guy to Man United already.
Spurs versus Manchester United. This is a hard, hard one to call. It's going to be a great game. It's going to be Son's final game before he goes off to the Asia Cup.
I was really hoping he'd miss that as well. You know,
Hannah.
I'm going to stick with Spurs because it's at Spurs.
Yeah.
So, and
well, they're renting at the moment. It's actually renting, at Wembley.
I'm going to say it's high scoring game. I'm going to go 3-1 Spurs.
3-1 to Spurs. Let's go with you, Flex. Of course, you know, you guys have been on this great run.
I've got to carry on the level of positivity, not deludedness.
So you're going to blaze them out 5-0?
No. I think it'll be a tight, low-scoring game, but I think we'll nick it 2-1. We've proved, even under Jose, I know it was the FA Cup semi-final, but we've proved we can go there and beat them.
Toby, big game for you guys. I mean, I know you're trying to play it down the title thing, but that's, you know, huge. Everybody's talking about Liverpool, Man City, but you know, you're just a couple of points off.
It's a huge game, and more importantly, because of this United resurgence, I think the league are just looking for a side to just put Man United to the sword. And I think it's going to be us this weekend. I don't think we're going to batter them. I don't think we're going to blow them away. But I think we are going to win. I just think they're going to give us one chance too many. Mm. We're going to put them to the sword.
Okay. I'm kind of thinking Tottenham. And I don't often do that. But if I'm being completely honest, the way they're playing at the moment, they are playing very well. They're defending well. And even though United are resurgent, I still think that they haven't had, this is a test that they have not had yet in those games they faced recently. So for that reason, I've got to go Tottenham winning it by 2-1.
You will see.
You know what, as an Arsenal fan, I was thinking, who do I want to win that game?
You want us to win, surely.
Who don't want to win that game?
Well, we're rivals
Man United
this season.
So breathing down Arsenal's neck. Yeah.
You should want a draw.
No, he should definitely want a draw.
Yeah, but I don't want Spurs winning the title, man.
I mean, a draw is a happy medium for you.
It definitely makes it more exciting if Tottenham win, because it keeps them in the race.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, they're still not that far.
I don't know about that excitement. Anyway, listen, I want to thank you guys for coming on today. It's been a brilliant show. Hannah, thank you very much for coming. I really, really, really hope that Huddersfield can stay up.
Me too.
So, you know.
I like Huddersfield, man.
I don't, they're not good.
As long as we don't do a swap with Leeds.
If they don't stay up in the future, we will be bringing Championship teams into the podcast as well. Sorry about that. Flex, thanks for coming in as usual. Good luck at the weekend. Toby, also thanks, Tottenham fan, good luck at the weekend as well. Thank you very much for my guests. You've been listening to Channel 4's The Real Football Fan Show podcast. Make sure that you subscribe, rate us and review us. It's very, very important. And don't forget, you can watch The Real Football Fan Show on all four, made for the fans.